So we turn to the scriptures now, and if you remember, last week I had said that we were going to leave the final couple of verses from John's Gospel until this week. So we skipped them, and then we're coming back to them this evening, because as I was thinking and praying and seeking the Lord's guidance regarding the message that we're going to share briefly for the remainder of our time together, it's these verses. So verse 19 of John chapter 21 says, "This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God." This is our Lord Jesus speaking to Peter. He's just restored him to faith. He's just said to him, look, you're a fisherman, but you need to be a shepherd. You need to go out, catch fish, then you need to care for them, look after them and feed them. And then Jesus spoke to him about the fact that he was going to die, and he explained the death that he would have. And this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken, this he said unto Peter, follow me. Okay, those are the words that we so often remember, follow me. Then verse 20, then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following him, who had been leaning on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remains till I come, what is that of you? And then our Lord says to him, follow me. So you can see that Jesus is speaking very clearly as to what the priorities are in Peter's life. The words follow me must have brought great joy, happiness, love into Peter's heart. Because literally what Jesus was saying, and these words are applicable to those who have been baptized here this morning, and indeed to all of us who know and love the Lord Jesus, but our emphasis is on those who have been baptized, and so I'll refer to them during the course of our message this morning. But I want you to remember that these words are applicable to all of us who knows and loves the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Jesus is literally saying to Peter, keep on following me. Keep on following me. Don't stop. Don't change. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Don't get waylaid by other people, other circumstances, and so on. Peter, never give up is what he's saying. Whatever is brought across your path, Peter, never stop following me. Whatever trials you face, and as we listened to some of the testimonies this morning, we heard real trials that people had been through. Situations, yes, we may not have had all the details, but we heard in the voice of the person that it was real, and that it was a challenge, and that it wasn't easy. So in those circumstances, never give up. Keep following me. Peter, never stop following me. Keep on following me. And immediately after our Lord has said this to Peter, and we see that Peter is following the Lord Jesus. If we go back to his denial, if you remember, he had done that at exactly that time as well. And when we turn back to Matthew 26, verse 35, we hear Peter saying, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And within hours, Peter doesn't die, but he does deny the Lord Jesus. And here in verse 20 of John's Gospel, chapter 21, we see that almost as soon as our Lord speaks to Peter and instructs him, to follow the Lord Jesus, what does Peter do? Well, very simply, he does this. He turns around and he looks away from Jesus. So he goes from coming and communing with the Lord Jesus Christ to talking to somebody else. He turns away from the Lord. And in turning to John, he is looking away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did Peter turn away at this crucial moment? Well, very simply, he heard somebody else walking behind him. He heard his friend John. And Peter turns towards him. He turns away from the Lord. And he turns towards John. Now, friends, it's not the first time that we have recorded in the scriptures that Peter turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ. We've already made reference to the denial in the garden. It's not the first time that Peter has taken his eyes off of the Lord Jesus and turned away and been distracted. In fact, we know that this has happened at least twice before. It happened the very first time that our Lord Jesus called Peter to come and to follow him, that he would make Peter a fisherman, a fisher of men. And you remember that they'd all been toiling all night and on that occasion had caught nothing. And the Lord Jesus calls to the fishermen and tells them to go deeper and to put their nets down. And with a sense of absolute hopelessness, they do as they are told. And miraculously, the nets are full and are beginning to break. And so the disciples signal to the other boat that was on the lake to come and to help them and to bring the fish in. And both boats begin to sink. And Peter takes his eyes off of the Lord and looks to himself. And then we find him falling down in front of the Lord and he says these words, words that we know. He says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now the second account is perhaps one that we're more aware of. It's one that we would have learnt in Sunday school. It's one that has been read to us and we've heard as Chris has read it to us. It's recorded in the scriptures that Peter took his eyes off of the Lord. And we know the account. It's there in Matthew chapter 14. But on this tremendously exciting morning that we have here today, with those who have been baptized, what is the message that we want to share with them, but of course to all of us? It's very simply this. We want to remind you, those who have been baptized, those who have still got water in their ears at the moment, wet hair, we need to remember to follow Jesus, to keep our eyes on him at all times. What better message could we bring on a Sunday like this? Jesus has said, "Follow me," and I'm saying, follow Jesus. Follow him. Our baptism is our identification that we belong to Jesus. Because we have died to the world and we have been buried and we have been raised to life in Jesus Christ as he was raised from the dead. It's incredibly exciting for us and we rejoice with all those who have been baptized this morning. But our baptism is simply the next step that we follow in obedience to the Lord Jesus. It is part of our following him. It is part of our discipleship. And remember, I had made the point in those words that verses we had read earlier that the important word was discipleship. And now in Matthew chapter 14, it tells us that Jesus had been teaching to the crowd of people who had come to hear him preach. And now to all those who have been baptized this morning, we can say that this account of the disciples and especially of Peter is of great encouragement for us. And there's much that we can learn from it. Because there are times in our lives when we continue to struggle, we find difficulties. There are times in our walk with the Lord that we will come across difficulties and things won't be as easy as we perhaps have hoped and thought that they should be. There will be times in our lives that we will go through storms, when we will feel the waves getting higher and the wind blowing stronger. And it'll be hard for us to make progress. And we may even wonder, are we ever going to cope and get through this? Perhaps illness. Perhaps a relationship issue. Perhaps concern over our family and our children and our parents. And so on. How are we going to cope? Are we going to be able to stand the storm? And we might ask ourselves this question, will my faith be strong enough to see me through? Now, the first point that I want to remind us as we have been reading this section of scripture this morning is very simply that Peter and the disciples were in the storm because they were obeying Jesus. Have you ever understood that before? Sometimes we like to think that we are only in the storm because we have not obeyed Jesus. Because we have not been obedient to God our Father. Because we haven't taken his word and read it and followed it and been obedient to it. Because we have not done as the Lord has directed. That's why we're in the storm, we say to ourselves. Because we have not followed the word of God. That we have not been submissive. That's why we're in the storm. That's why the wind's blowing. That's why the sea is so rough. But verse 22 tells us that Jesus made the disciples to get into the boat. Does that mean that Jesus didn't know there was a storm brewing? Had he not listened to the shipping forecast on the BBC for the inland waters? At 0400 hours GMT to know what was going on? No. You see, Jesus knew exactly what was going on. He knew the storm was coming. He knew it was a bad one. The storm came because, unlike Jonah, they were in the will of God. You see, Jonah was out of the will of God. Now, if there's people that don't go to church often here, you may have heard of the story of Jonah and the big whale, the big fish. But the thing was that Jonah knew which boat he was meant to get on, and he got on the other one, going in the other direction. And the storm he went into was tremendous. But it was because he wasn't in the will of God. But these disciples get into this boat because Jesus demands, tells them, get into the boat. They willingly got into the boat. You know, the Lord Jesus knew that the storm was coming. And yes, he deliberately directed the disciples into the storm. But here's the thing. And for those of us who have been baptized this morning, this is so important. And you will, one day you might remember this and you'll be grateful and you'll say, that was a great message. And here's the thing. Whilst it was a storm, and it was a bad one, and whilst everyone knows that storms can be dangerous, look, a Spanish trawler sank off of the Newfoundland coast this week, I think. And 21 of the 24 crew died. The Canadian Navy and all of the search and rescue guys did what they could. And three were saved. And Storm Eunice has battered the United Kingdom. Half a dozen people have been killed. And the wind gusts reached 144 miles per hour. And the disciples are entering the storm. But I want you to understand this. They were safer in the storm, in the will of God, than they would have been on the dry land, out of his will. They were safer with the water lapping over the side of the boat, the waves being big, the wind being strong, because they were in the will of God. Too many Christians are under the false understanding that being obedient to the Lord and to his will only produces smooth sailing. That's the idea that's even preached in churches. That's the concept that we like to talk about in our Christian lives today. You know, I've done everything God's told me to do, so everything's going to be fine. Smooth sailing, but it's not true. Of course, if we are in the will of God, and we see blessing, that's His will for us. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus in John chapter 16, verse 33. And if you can remember back, sometime last year when we were looking at this particular verse, it says this. It says, "In the world you will have tribulation." I want you to think about the situation of Canada right now. Friends, we've got tribulation. Bad tribulation. And people will sometimes say to me, "You don't believe the book of Revelation, do you?" Well, of course we do, because it's in the scriptures. And we believe the gospels, and we believe the words of Jesus. And when Jesus said, "In the world you will have trouble, you'll have tribulation," He meant it for our good, because He wanted us to know. But then He went on to say this, "But be of good cheer." Now, isn't that exciting? He says, "Be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world." The world can't continue to cause you problems if you're in my will. When we find ourselves in the storm because we have obeyed the Lord, we need to remember that He has brought us there. And He still cares for us, even though the waves are big and the wind is strong. But the account that we have here of the disciples in the storm shows us something else as well. And it tells us that Jesus is praying for us. Now, I've made this point many times. Aren't you excited that Jesus is praying for you? Aren't you relieved that Jesus is praying for you? Look, I can pray for you, but don't you want the Lord Jesus praying for you? We can pray as a church, but we know that Jesus is praying for us. What does this come out? Or how does this come out here in this section of Scripture? Well, Mark 6, verse 48 tells us that Jesus saw the disciples straining at rowing on the lake, for the wind was against them. Our Lord saw the disciples and He saw their plight. You see, not for one moment were they out of His sight. He knew where they were. He knew what they were going through. He knew what was happening to them. Where was our Lord so that He could see them? Well, Mark 6:46 tells us. "And when He had sent them away onto the lake, He departed to the mountainside." So He's up here and He's looking down at the lake and He can see that little boat going out across the water. And His eye is on it. And He's watching them. And not only is He just watching them, He's praying for them. And He's watching you. And He's praying for you. Because He loves you. Our Lord went up onto the hillside. From that vantage point, He could see the disciples on the lake, and He could see the effort that they were putting in, He could see the storm. And as our Lord knelt to pray for His disciples, He would have felt the sting of the rain on His face, the wind blowing, because He could see the storm. Friends, He was in the storm with them. He was experiencing the storm as He looked down from the mountain. What was our Lord doing? He was praying for them. What was our Lord praying for? He was praying for the disciples that their faith would not fail. And for you who have been baptized this morning, and for all of us who know and love the Lord Jesus as our Savior, Jesus knows our needs. Jesus feels the burdens that we have. He knows what we're going through. There's some lovely verses in Hebrews chapter 4, 14 and 16 that speak of this. Let's read them very briefly together. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have, a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, and yet was without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Now that's God's word to us. If you knew that Jesus could be in the room next to you, perhaps behind this screen here, praying for you, wouldn't it give you new courage to endure the storm and to do his will? Of course it would. But he's not in the next room necessarily. But he is in heaven praying for you and me right now. He sees your needs. He knows your fears. And he's in control of the situation. So the safest place to be is in the storm, in the will of God. We know that Jesus is praying for us and that he knows our struggles. But there's a wee bit more. Jesus comes to us. Sometimes, and some of us say, that we feel that Jesus has deserted us. In fact, Laurie pointed this out when she made mention of that poem. Just when we're going through the hardest time possible, it seems like Jesus has deserted us. Even Jody and Josh in their testimony alluded to this. That there was a hard time that you were facing. And perhaps you felt, where's Jesus in all of this? Brooke certainly did. David complained that God seemed far away and unconcerned in him. Yet he knew that God would ultimately rescue him. Even the great apostle Paul got into a situation so difficult that he felt burdened excessively beyond our strength. So that we despaired even of life, 2 Corinthians 1:8. Friends, I need to remind you that Jesus always comes to us in the storm of life. When you pass through the waters, the prophet Isaiah said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, speaking of God. Now, he may not come at the time or in the manner that you think he should come. Why does he not come when perhaps we think he should come? Very simply because he knows when we need him the most. He knows the exact time that we need him. Now coming back to the disciples on the lake. The scriptures tell us, you notice that, that it was when the boat was in the middle of the lake. You understand what that means? It means that it was as far away as possible from dry land, from the shore. It was as far away as possible from help from others. And Jesus waited for that point. Jesus was testing the disciples' faith. And this meant removing every human hope. But all the time our Lord was watching. He has his eye on us, and he is keeping an eye on the storm as well. He's got his hand on the thermostat. He's got his hand on the controller for the storms. Why did Jesus walk on the water? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What was the lesson for the disciples in him coming, walking on the water? Was it just, you know, a help for Sunday school teachers to have something to teach to children? Well, of course not. There's significance in this, huge significance. Very simply, I believe it was to show the disciples that the very thing that they feared, the sea, the water, the waves crashing around, was just the roadway, yeah, with a few steps in it and a few ups and downs, that Jesus chose to come to them. Friends, often we fear the difficult experiences of life, such as surgery, for example, or illness, or bereavement, or dare I say it, COVID-19. Do you realise how many people are absolutely terrified about COVID-19? And it's all gone. It's gone. Britain's not worried about it. In fact, the only thing you hear in the UK on the news now is what's going on in Canada. But they never mention COVID-19. No one's dying of COVID-19 anymore. They've gone back to things like flu and other things that we used to die from. Or the fact that your government has introduced the state of emergency and you can't understand why. And it's tearing our country apart. But as we go through these experiences, we discover that Jesus, and this is important, Jesus comes closer to us. Now, verse 49 of Mark 6, we read that the disciples did not recognize Jesus. In fact, we're told that they thought it was a ghost walking on the water towards them. But they knew who Jesus was. So, again, was this just to help the Sunday school teacher make the story more interesting? Keep the kids' attention? No. It's highly significant. Why didn't they recognize him? Well, the answer is desperately simple. They didn't recognize him as he came to them because they weren't looking for him to come to them. Had they been waiting by faith, they would have known and recognized him immediately. Instead, they jumped to the false conclusion that there was an appearance of a ghost or something. Friends, those who have been baptized this morning, and all of us, listen carefully. I really need you to take this into your hearts. It's vital. Fear and faith cannot live in the same heart. Fear and faith cannot live in your heart together. Because if you allow fear to be too strong or fear to be strong in your heart, where's your faith? It can't happen. Fear always blinds the eyes to the presence of the Lord. So the disciples were brought into the storm, but as they were in the storm, Jesus is watching and he is praying for them, and then he came to them. And in this experience in the storm, the disciples are helped to grow in their faith. In fact, this was the whole point of the storm. One day the Lord Jesus would leave them and they would have to face many storms in their ministries as they went into the world and preached the gospel. They had to learn to trust Jesus even though he was not present with them, even though it looked as though he didn't care. Now at this point, our centre of interest shifts to Peter, and we're nearly finished. But I want to say that before we criticise Peter for sinking, we should at least honour him for his magnificent demonstration of faith, because it was a demonstration of faith. So we're at our homeschool conference retreat last year. And I know there's some young people here who can relate to this immediately. And there's a rope swing. And the kids immediately ran out and wanted to go on the rope screen. Emma's fully clothed on the rope screen through his swing before we've unpacked anything. And it's big. I don't know, what, 50 foot in the air? Higher even. And you have to climb up about 200 steps to get to the top. Okay, I can see some of the young people here saying it's not too... How many steps was it then? Well, hazard a guess. 10? Okay, I think it was more than 10. I'll deal with you two afterwards, okay? Steady on. So you had to climb up these 200 steps and there's a little platform on the top. And all you have to do is hold the rope and jump off. I couldn't do it. I couldn't even get to the top of the steps. Why? Because my faith was lacking. I was afraid. I thought, what if the rope snaps? What if I land badly? What if all these girls watching start to laugh? So I make room for a little 6-year-old girl who's climbed up the steps and says, "Excuse me, Pastor, can you move over, please? I want to swing on the rope." And she holds the rope and just flies through the sky. Does a little somersault and ends up in the water. She did it because she had faith. Peter dared to be different. You see, friends, anyone can sit in the boat and watch. Anyone. But it takes a person of real faith to get up onto the edge of the boat and to step on water. And Peter did that. So what caused him to start sinking? There was a problem with his faith. You see, his faith began to waver. Why? Because he took his eyes off of the Lord and he began to look at the circumstances around him. And Jesus asks him the question in Matthew 14, verse 31. He says, "Peter, why did you doubt? Sim, why did you doubt? Brooke, why did you doubt? Josh, why did you doubt?" The word doubt carries with it the meaning of standing at an uncertain place with two options. Peter started out with great faith. He stood on the side of the boat and he stood on the water and he was able to walk to Jesus. But he ended up with little faith because he saw two ways instead of one. Now, as we go forward in our walk with the Lord, we will soon find that we have an enemy and he'll give us other options. But our faith tells us the right option. We need to also give Peter the credit for knowing that he was sinking. This is important. Because there are many of us who in our Christian lives, when things have started to go wrong, have failed to understand that we're sinking. We've failed to notice that our feet are getting wet. And then our knees are getting wet because we're sinking. So in that sense, we also say to Peter, that was good. And then he cries out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why do you doubt? Now eventually the boat, landed at Gennesaret, which is near Capernaum, near Bethesda. And we're told that there Jesus healed many people. I wonder, did those people that he healed realize the storm that he had come through? The storm that he had come through to meet their needs. I close now by saying, do you know that Jesus went through a terrible storm for us at the cross, for you at the cross, for me at the cross, to meet my need and your need? I wonder, do you realize that our Lord endured the storm of judgment to save your soul? But our Lord endured the storm for you and for me, that we might never have to face the storm of God's judgment, because I'm telling you, that will be a storm that you do not want to face. Nor is it a storm that you have to face. Because in Jesus, we are saved from that storm. Verse 33 says, the disciples came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. And friends, this morning, we should imitate the disciples and bow at his feet and acknowledge that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This morning, you have witnessed these people in their baptism. Before your eyes, you have seen the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed. You've heard the gospel in the testimony that has been brought as the scriptures have been read. These people and all who have come to faith in the Saviour have died to their sin. When someone dies, you bury them. But just as our Lord rose from the grave, so too have all those who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6 just assumes that all believers have been baptized in the way that we have seen here this morning and witnessed. And we read, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried in him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So today, this morning, die to your sin. Be buried with Christ so that you can be raised to eternal life in the Saviour. Don't waste another moment. Judgment is coming, and that storm will be one that you will never